As an example of Jewish action in the elimination of the supernatural significance of an observance, let us take the custom of exchanging Christmas cards. Christmas is in reality the anniversary of the birth of the Redeemer, of the second Adam, who restored the supernatural life of our souls. That is the real inner reason for our joy on that day. Families and friends come together to celebrate the coming amongst us as a little human child of Him in whom we are one as members of His mystical body. The body is meant to have its share of the happiness too, because the Son of Man knows that we are human beings. Now, the exchange of Christmas cards is meant to remind us of these great facts in their due relation. The supernatural significance of the great feast of the Nativity should, of course, be always prominent. Yet, what do we find? Cards which show only holly and Christmas puddings have some relation to the feast, it is true, but not to the Christ Mass. Others, with merely a row of dogs or a few birds, have nothing to remind the recipients of what the rejoicing is for, while Yuletide greetings seem to refer to some pagan festival and to be preparing the way for a Nazi revival of paganism. In this process of eliminating the supernatural Messiah from the celebration of the anniversary of his birth, Messrs. Raphael Tuck and Sons Limited, the largest firm of Christmas card manufacturers, have certainly played a great part. The directors of this firm, according to the Britisher of December 15, 1937, are registered as Gustav Tuck, Desmond Adolf Tuck, and William Reginald Tuck, and the secretary is a Mr. A.G. Jacobs. All three directors appear in the communal directory of the Jewish yearbook. Mr. Desmond Tuck is a warden of the Central Synagogue. Gustav Tuck is a member of the Jewish Board of Deputies Committee, a member of the Committee for the Fund for German Jewry, etc. This firm is not alone, but it has certainly been a great influence in propagating naturalism by fostering a naturalistic tone. It will be useful for Irishmen to examine how much of Dublin's real property has already passed into Jewish hands. Such a control must bring influence, and Jewish influence will operate against Christian social principles. Irish Catholics can see the advance of the elimination of the supernatural from public life when a Jewish shop exhibits a card to the effect that the shop will be open all day on Christmas Day, and when Jewish professional men make appointments for Sunday morning. This disruption of the organization of society based on the reality of the supernatural life of grace and on the vital significance of the Mass cannot proceed without disastrous effects on Catholics individually and as a body. For we know that it is only through the supernatural life which comes from our Lord that we can be good men according to the way which God requires and can correct the defects of our natural life. On the one hand, then, the increase of Jewish influence, with its inevitable naturalistic, that is, anti-supernatural character, cannot take place without such disruption. On the other hand, we are exhorted to work for the return of society to Christ the King so that, instead of having to combat influences hostile to our supernatural life when we leave the church after Mass, we shall, on the contrary, be aided by the current of life around us. Thus, Jewish naturalism renders conflict inevitable. Jewish naturalism, then, is disruptive of all social organization based upon the divinity of our Lord. This disruptive process inevitably leads to a reaction on the part of the subject of Christ the King, and thus renders social conflict inevitable. But besides these two deleterious effects, there is a third. Jewish naturalism is harmful to the Jews themselves. Opposition to the supernatural life of grace that comes from our Lord, and consequently to ordered submission to God, our Father, is disastrous for the Jewish soul and character. Writing of the ceremonies and rites of the old law, such as circumcision and the worship of the synagogue, St. Thomas says, quote, "In like manner, the ceremonies of the old law prefigured Christ as having yet to be born and to suffer, whereas our sacraments signify him as already born and having suffered. Consequently, just as it would be a mortal sin now for anyone in making a profession of faith to say that Christ is yet to be born, which the fathers of old said devoutly and truthfully, so too it would be a mortal sin now to observe those ceremonies which the fathers of old accomplished with devotion and fidelity. Such is the teaching of St. Augustine. End of quote. Objectively, therefore, the Jews as a nation put themselves against the ordered return to God, which can only be through our Lord Jesus Christ. Their opposition has not only had dire consequences in preventing and retarding the world's acceptance of him, but also sad effects on themselves. The results of that ceaseless battle against order are becoming increasingly visible amongst them. The persistent rejection of the one mediator, Christ Jesus, in spite of abundant light and grace, is having its inevitable consequences. As Jewish power in the material order grows, they are ceasing to believe in the God of Israel and are falling a prey to pantheism in its various forms, Marxian and other. Does it then follow that all Jews are pantheists? It does not. In all, this reasoning about the Jewish nation we are dealing with, what we may speak of as moral laws in a wide sense. We cannot deduce conclusions therefrom to every individual member of the race. We must take account of the play of human liberty under the influence of the grace that comes from the Sacred Heart of Jesus.